Chapter 2. Big and Big-Hearted. God is big. There's no escaping that. The one who engineered the Big Bang must be, in some sense, bigger than the bang he triggered. And he must be bigger somehow than the universe he made. Our conversation about the speed of light and the vastness of the universe settled that. So let's just accept it for now, knowing that our feeble attempts to get our heads round the size of the universe, never mind the size of God himself, will inevitably end in frustration. Sometimes you just have to stop wondering and simply accept. Obviously, we aren't using big in any material sense. God doesn't have physical dimensions. You can't get a tape measure to a spiritual being. His hugeness is in his existence, in his presence. He is everywhere. At your side in the Lake District, in the street when the cortege goes by, and at your pillow as you drift off to sleep with thoughts of God and the universe. There's no escaping his presence. He's there in your darkest moments, in your time of terror, in your drunken stupor, in your moments of triumph, at your degree ceremony, your wedding, your promotion to the board, at the birth of your baby, at the edge of the universe too, and beyond. One follower of God, who was a poet, put it this way: "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Yes, God is big. The word big, however, sometimes has a negative edge. We think of big business corporations, where profits rule and people inevitably become depersonalized, mere numbers on the employee roll. In this respect, big is bad, just as small is beautiful. But there's no badness about God's bigness. He isn't impossibly remote. Alongside his bigness is his capacity to view everything in his universe at the same level of detail. So he sees you and knows you through and through in as much detail as he knows the structure of the Milky Way and every back alley within it. He knows every detail of your background, your DNA, your personality traits, your strengths and weaknesses, your dodgy left knee, your gift for music, the colour of your eyes, everything. And because he's God, he doesn't lose track of all that when, so to speak, he takes his eyes off you and looks at another of his creatures. His bigness means he's comfortably on your case 24/7. That can be a bit scary. You know, for instance, that you've been less than perfect. Certain episodes in your life you'd rather forget because you're ashamed of things you've said and done. If God sees all that in among the rest, you may well feel apprehensive, especially if you've been taught that he's a bit like a Victorian schoolmaster, beetle-browed and frowning, pacing up and down his universe with cane in hand, looking for sinners like you to pounce on and give a good thrashing to. I'm sure there are issues in your life that will in due course need sorting out, but we can put that on hold for now. God doesn't suffer from a sin allergy, so you needn't fear that he'll run away from you in horror of being infected by your moral failures. Nor is he a cane-wielding schoolmaster intent on thrashing you within an inch of your life for failing to make the grade. What then is he like? He is many things, that's for sure. We've already noted that he is big, far-seeing, and immensely capable. He has other attributes too. But if we liken all these traits to the spokes of a wheel, what is the hub? What is the fundamental feature of God's nature, the one that influences and gives direction to all his other characteristics? God is love. I didn't say God is loving. He is loving, and that's wonderful news. But to say God is love is something more. It means love is his very nature, his essence, the fundamental flavour of his being. Love is not some bolt-on extra, it's what he intrinsically is. It's not just one aspect of his nature alongside others. Like the sugar in the cup of tea, it flavours every part and you can't get it out or separate it from the rest. God is love. Maybe we need to clarify here what we mean by love, because we use the word in many ways. For some, love is the equivalent of sexual activity. Valid as that is, it's not what we're talking about here. God is not a sexual being. As we observed, he's not even a gendered being, though for convenience and by tradition we use words like he and him. Nor do we mean a sentimental kind of love. When you bump into a friend who's walking her new Cocker Spaniel pup, you might exclaim, "Oh, just look at him, he's so cute. I just love puppies." But if the pup was in your house, chewing the Queen Anne chair legs and leaving piles of unmentionables on the floor, your love might quickly wear thin. God's love isn't the sentimental sort. Instead, his is a robust, committed kind of love. Some other languages have a word that hits the nail on the head. In Hebrew, it's chesed. In first century Greek, it's agape. But in English, we don't have such a word, so I need to spell out what God's love is like. It's a love totally committed to the welfare of the one loved. And that's you. It's determined to do you good, whatever the cost. It won't be diverted from its object. It won't fade. It won't fizzle out. It won't control you. It will make sacrifices. Indeed, it will even die, if necessary, to secure the welfare of the loved one. One ancient Greek writer, using the word agape mentioned above, said this about it: "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Like me, you're probably thinking of people who have failed to love you in that way of uncompromising commitment. And others might say the same about you. But God's love is 100% this kind. That's his attitude towards you. He is totally committed to your welfare. Nothing can change that, nothing at all. God is love, and you're at the receiving end of it. Maybe you need to pause here and let that sink in. Let it soften you up a bit. If that's what God is like, perhaps you could begin to drop your defences along with your yes buts and open up to him with a little more confidence. He's big, yes, but he's big-hearted too. What a relief.